Welcome to the All Nations Church of Luxembourg podcast.
There's nothing worth more peace to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to worship at All Nations Church. I've been away for a couple of weeks, and I got to experience the good feeling of coming back after having been away for a while, feeling, wow, it feels really good to be here, to walk into the space. So I really hope that you felt that this morning as well, whether this is your 1,000th time here or it's your first time. We welcome you, and an opportunity that you have in just a few weeks, if you are new, however you want to define that, is we will be having a welcome coffee that will be after the second service on the 5th of May, so that's in 5 weeks. That's an opportunity for anyone who's new to learn more about the church and how you can get involved. You can go ahead and sign up for that on Church Center. That registration is live. Another thing to sign up for, although not on Church Center, you need to talk to Teresia, is the Worship Ministries lunch on the 28th of April. That's in 2 weeks. Most of the people for whom this is for already know about that, but we just want to send out the reminder. If you do want to come to tell Teresia, but also we want to let you know, just it's good to be reminded that we have a huge worship ministry. That's not just these people who are on stage every week, but it's also the tech team. It's the people who read scripture, the people who lead us in prayer, even the people who design things for us that help us worship on screens. There's a lunch for all of these people. We want to show our appreciation for them, and I hope it's just a good reminder that we should be thankful for the gifts that are being used here in our community. If you are one of those people who's on one of these teams, go ahead and sign up for that. It'll be a really fun time. We always get really good food, and it's a very encouraging time to be together. An opportunity that's it's new in the sense that we're just now publicizing it, but has been ongoing for a little while now, is that there is a group of people who are gathering to pray before the service on the first and last Sunday of the month, so before this service, so around 9 o'clock. And this is open to anyone. So if you are someone who has on your heart a desire to gather with your sisters and brothers to pray more, to pray for our world, to pray for things close by and far away, to pray for our church, to pray for the needs of this community, in all ways and every way to build up the kingdom of God. If you want to gather to pray, this is an opportunity for you. So the next one will be the last Sunday of April. That's the 28th. Folks will just gather in the foyer up until about 9 o'clock, and then we'll go downstairs to pray together. This is open to all people as much or as seldom as you're able to come. You're welcome. So it's good to gather to pray as brothers and sisters. We are in our second series, second week of a new series on the Christian essentials. Post-Easter, we're looking at really what does it mean to be a Christian? There's this new thing that God has done in Jesus. And today we are looking at the Holy Spirit. In light of that, I invite you to stand and to hear these words from Psalm 139. Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and night wraps itself around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Where we are going to receive the offering as a part of our worship service this morning, and the children are staying with us. And we want to invite you to continue to worship with us and to prepare our hearts for prayer. So we're going to sing to the one based on Psalm 139. Let us pray. Your mercies are new every morning. So we breathe in and we breathe out, and we know it's your breath in our lungs. And we want to pour out our praises to you this morning, and not only this morning, but let our lives be your praise. As we go out into this new week, as we face challenges and joys and the tasks that we have to do in all the roles that we, each of us, fulfills and that we are in, may our lives be your praise, and may we know what we have just sung, the truths that we read in your word in Psalm 139. Father, you know us and you search us. You have knitted us together in our mother's womb, even before one day was happening on this world. You know everything and every moment is written in your book and in the book of our lives. You hem us in behind and before, and you place your hand upon us, on each of us this morning. The Father's hand laying on our shoulders and saying, it is good. I love you. You are mine. And Heavenly Father, I ask as we stretch out our hearts and our minds today and hear your word, what Paul is sharing, what we hear in the Bible and the songs that we sing based on your word. May we open our hearts towards the reality of your spirit. And may you revive us again and breathe on us again this spring as a church, as a worshiping community, as a body of believers here in Luxembourg and around the world, and as individuals. Breathe on us again. Renew our hearts. As we have just sung, Father, search us, know our hearts, and show us life lived as renewed. Any grievous way in us, Father, we invite you to remove and give us a joy that is beyond understanding. Heavenly Father, we want to bring before you the situation around the world of, it looks like, more and more escalation in the Middle East. Already the tremendous pain and suffering that is happening since months there, and also in the Ukraine and other hotspots in Sudan. Think about this country too, and the many places where people are being suppressed and where there are wars and turmoils. Father, we cry out to you today, Lord, have mercy with the victims of suffering, and particularly those who are totally not guilty. For those who have pain and grief and loss, please comfort them. Please make that the medical aid and the trauma help can come and can help and support people. And Father, what looks impossible for us, we want to cry out to you and ask, Lord, please bring peace. And we ask for all the diplomatic activities that are happening at the moment. Please, Lord, work in all the conversations that are happening. You know what is going on, all the things we don't know. Give wisdom to the politicians that are communicating at the moment. And Father, it is easy to lose heart and to be shocked in the midst of what is happening. But draw us on our knees in the midst of the challenges that we face and pray. And I thank you for the prayer initiative in our church and the many people who are praying. Get us more and more to be in your presence together and cry out to you and pray. And this morning, Father, I ask that you give us your peace, that you help us to enter into Shabbat rest, to put aside everything that is maybe on our minds. And as we hear your word, as we hear the scripture that is being read and Paul preaching to us this morning, may it is an open ground of our hearts where we hear anew what you have to say to us this morning. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is from the Epistle to Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. This is the word of the Lord.
Today, we dip our toes, as I like to say. Maybe you've been to the pool and you're not sure if it's cold or hot, so you just put a little bit of yourself in. But we dip our toes into a massive subject, the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, as we think about what is essential in our life with God, or our life, our Christian life. And clearly there's so much more, even in this passage, than can be said in one sermon. So there is a lot that I will leave out in the process, but hopefully there are some really things that are helpful for us here as we think about the Holy Spirit in our lives. Also, you may have noticed something close to your chair. This is for you. You can take it home if you want. But this is the statement of the church on the Holy Spirit, because, again, massive topic, can't talk about everything, but if you want to know kind of where we are as a church, this I think explains that. Doesn't have every passage there. I know some people would like that. You have a question about that, feel free. I'll point you to the passage. But in just a moment, I'm going to reread some of the verses that Emmeline read about the Holy Spirit. And it's not because she didn't do a great job, because she did. But it's because I think sometimes we can kind of get distracted, especially in a long passage like this. And we also can kind of not be quite sure, is it this or is it that way? I mean, there's a lot of movement in this passage. So I want to give you a framework first to listen to the passage, and then I'm going to invite you to listen to the passage in a little bit different way than we might normally. The first thing that it's important for the framework to have in your mind is that what Paul is really talking about here is two realms, two authorities, two different powers, okay? That have influence, that have power, that shape, that control the lives of people. So we might think the people in Rome would have experienced this where they had different senates or different emperors that were there. And one could be very different. And the rules might be very different under one of the others. We might think of the fact that if we live in Luxembourg, we have a different set of rules and authority than we did if we lived in Russia right now, right? We can kind of get that idea of there's an authority and a power. There's the authority of the sinful nature, the nature that has bent against God. I think about this sometimes as the nature that wants everything that God has but doesn't want God. Right? I want all the good stuff for me. I want to do what I want to do. But I'm not interested in God. And of course, every good thing that we have comes from God. So in this example, we can see that there's this realm, this power and authority. The first is the sinful nature, the self-orientation, and the other one is the Spirit of God, the God orientation. And the realm and authority and the power of the sinful nature we live under, and we have an obligation to the law of sin and death, the law of doing what is wrong and reaping the sad results of it, death, which brings condemnation. Our behavior is dictated by ourself. It is lived with a human orientation. What do I want? And those who live under this authority cannot please God. If you live under this system, and we have all, and here's one of the things, all of us, Christian or not, we've lived under that. We know what that is like, right, as a Christian. That authority, that power, that as Paul talks about in Romans 7, that I do the very thing I don't want to do. Why? Why do I do that? It's because this authority, this power, this realm has control over you. The other realm is the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this realm, we are freed from the law of sin and death by Christ's sacrifice. The Spirit gives life, and it raises us from the dead, and we experience God's no condemnation, His declaration that we are not condemned. Our life is lived with a God orientation, and our behavior is dictated by the Holy Spirit. And we realize, I'm a child of God. And all that God has, God shares and gives to me. So there's a bountifulness to my life and an assurance that God is caring for me and directing me and loving me and providing. So I want to read again these passages that talk specifically about the Holy Spirit. And there's many of them in this passage. You might have noticed as you heard it the first time. But I want you to do it in a little differently. I want you to do two things. You don't have to do the first one yet, but I will ask you in a moment. As I read it, I want you to close your eyes. Because when you have your eyes open, it's easy to get distracted at different things. And I want you just to listen. And I also want you to feel it. Now, I know for some of you, you feel everything. And it's kind of confusing, all these feelings that you have. And so you might need to calm down a little bit. I know there's others of you here, maybe more like me, that you have just a few feelings, right? Anger, you know? If you get your finger in a door, you know, you get angry or pain. Right? Or hungry. But I want you to expand the feelings that you have. And that will be a little bit of a push for you. But I want you to listen. I want you to really feel the words. Not just hear them. Not just read them. But feel them. What are they like in your soul, in your body, that these are true? So now I'm going to ask you to go ahead and close your eyes. I'll keep my eyes open so that I can read. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Christ died so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied. For us who no longer follow the sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to life and peace. Controlled by the sinful nature.
You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Christ lives within you, so that even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life, because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, He will also give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are children of God. So you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit, and when He adopted you as His own children, now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirits and affirms that we are God's children. All right, you can open your eyes again if you want. I hope you got a little different feel, a sense of the power of what is happening and what God is saying, what He's trying to communicate through the Apostle Paul. The first part of this passage in verses 3 through 5, and this is one of those times every once in a while it's helpful to bring your Bible out, get it on your app. This might be helpful because we're going to go a little bit more just through it. You don't have to, but it could be helpful. The first part of this passage in 3 through 5 tells us that we belong to Christ, and we now live under this different realm, this different authority, this different power in our lives, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that we've been brought into through Christ. And Christ lives in us, and the Spirit lives in us, and so that's the power source, and that's the realm. Those are the rules. That's the direction that God gives us, is to live under this realm. And the more you can think of the two realms, the more that these passages will make sense to you, and the choices will make sense to you, the call. In verse 5, through 8, we kind of see the contrast of what life is like under the realm and the power and the authority of the sinful natures versus under the realm and power and authority of the Spirit. That there's a difference in the thoughts, the things that we're thinking about, and that those thoughts influence the mindset by which we look at the world and engage with the world. Right? First are thoughts, and on top of that builds a mindset, a perspective, and then we become dominated or controlled by the things that we're thinking, the mindset we have, and the direction that we're going. And so he talks about in verses 5 through 8 that our thinking is about gratifying, in the sinful nature, is about gratifying myself. What can I get? How can I have things turn out the way I want, whether you get something or not? It has nothing to do with what can I give. What do I have to offer? How can I benefit you? The mindset of the Spirit, of the person who lives under the realm of the Spirit, is what pleases the Spirit. God, what do you want? What do you wish from me? You made me, you created me, as we heard so lovely through that Psalm 139. My life is your life. What is it that you want from me, Lord? Because that's what I want to do. I want to follow you. The mindset then, the way that we go in life, is to gratify ourselves. And the outcome of that is death. Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to a man, also to a woman, but in the end, it leads to death. We can't see over the horizon. We can't see where our path is, but the Holy Spirit is telling us that path, the path of the self in control and living and directing, will destroy you, it leads to death. But the life dominated by the Spirit, under the control of the Spirit, leads to life and peace. Is it real a hard question to think, where do I want to be? Do I want to be on the road to death or the road to life and peace? Which direction is my mind, my thoughts, my life direction, which is it taking me? And then he talks about the third thing, which is being controlled by the power of the sinful nature. And the power of that sinful nature makes us hostile to God. Why are you doing this, God? Why didn't you do that, God? You know, we become people that challenge God, not in a healthy way like the psalmist does, but in an unhealthy way. Like, God, I deserve better. You're not doing your part of the deal, if we believe in God at all. Or we just say, God's everything, all the good things are just mine. They're here. They're for me. We're controlled by that. And that heart, controlled in that way, being hostile to God, can never please him. And that's what verses 5 through 8 kind of give us, this negative side of these two realms, but with a little bit of the positive side of what happens with the Spirit. But then, as I talked about last week, you have that blessed but, you know, that contrast that comes and says, this is true. These are the negative things. These are the bad things. But here's the good things. You are not controlled. You are not dominated. You do not live any longer under the realm of the sinful nature. And that's such good news. You are not under the control anymore of the destructive powers and the outcomes. You are under control of the Holy Spirit. That's the realm that you live in. That's the realm that Jesus opened up for us. That's the realm that when we believed, we got transported into that way, that authority, those things, those realities in our life. And so he says here, even though you're in your human bodies will die, you won't be dead. It's not the end. Your existence in this thing that you walk around in that you're so used to, it will not be the end. Whenever I do a funeral now, I talk about the person in the present. Oftentimes we talk about, well, they were. But every person is and is. The spirit goes on. But this is a spirit that goes on to live with God, to be those that inherit all that God has now and forever. And the same spirit that raised Jesus' body from the dead and gave him a new heavenly body, it says here, will by that same power raise us from the dead and give us a new body and a new life. And again, it's important to kind of catch Paul's really pushing the idea of the power, right? These dominions, this sinful nature has its power, but the power of the Spirit is so much greater than the power of the sinful nature that we were in. So as a result of the work of Christ that has brought us into this realm, this power, this authority of the Holy Spirit, we have a shift in obligations. Right? Before we were obligated to do whatever the sinful nature wanted us to do, that's what we did. You know, and that doesn't mean we couldn't do good things. You can do good things when you're living in that. You can do a lot of bad things both ways, right? But it means that you were obligated. The power pushed you. You could not choose not to do. So instead of doing what the sinful nature wants us to do, which no longer has the power over us, but it can urge us, you should do that. That would make you happy, right? We don't have that obligation anymore because that direction of the sinful nature leads to death, and that is not the authority in our life, the power over us. But our obligation now is to the Spirit's power and authority. Because we live in this new realm of the Spirit, we have an obligation, it says here, to put to death the deeds of the sinful nature. To think about what is it that was part of my life in that time, in that context, and to put them to death. It's pretty dramatic language, isn't it? It's not like put it in the closet, put it in the drawer, put it in the attic, right? Put it away until you go on vacation. It says put it to death. Because that's from the old realm. That's from the old life. It doesn't fit in this new realm, this new reality. It needs to be put to death. And one of those things that oftentimes we do again and again and again. Because the urge comes back. Right? Sinful nature says, wouldn't that be great? And we have to say, no, really it wouldn't. Because that road leads to death. And you promise more than you can deliver. We are to abandon our old ways and fully embrace the new ways of the Spirit. And God's word teaches us again and again in different places what that looks like. This is actually a warning passage in the scripture. There are several different warning passages. They're there in John, they're there in Hebrews, they're here, they're in other gospels, other letters. It's a warning passage to believers. It's basically saying only those who live in this new realm of the Spirit, where they are led and follow the Holy Spirit, those are the only ones that are really the children of God. And we can sometimes misunderstand this and kind of go, so if I sin, do I flip? You know, I was under the realm of the Spirit, and now I did something I shouldn't have done, and now I flipped over into the realm of the sinful nature. And the answer is no. No. So big, big no. The reality is we do get pulled back in. We do give in, even though we're not under that power of the sinful nature. We do that. So, but that's not what it's talking about here. What it's saying is basically if your lifestyle, your mindset is to be controlled by the sinful nature, to live under that realm, then it reflects that you're not living in under the realm of the Holy Spirit. It's not, do you make occasional sins? Do you have besetting sins that you fall back into, that you need to confess, that you need accountability, that I need accountability and help with? No, it doesn't say that, but it says if this is your mindset, then you really need to question whether you are living into this realm of the Holy Spirit, if you're really under that power. Paul says in one of the letters to the Corinthians, he says, check and make sure that you really belong to Christ. If our minds and our thoughts are always about ourselves and never about what does God want, it's a warning to us. It's a wake-up call. An important principle in the Christian life is that apart from God's Spirit, we can't do anything. We're lost. We don't have the power, the capability. We're incapable of living this way. We need to live under the power. We need to have the power of the Holy Spirit to live this way in our lives. But it also doesn't mean that we just kind of go, okay, Holy Spirit, take over. You know? Our spirit needs to engage with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's be honest, you know? We're not the one giving most of the energy. But we need to be willing. We need to be willing, as the scripture says, to keep in step with the Spirit, to move along with the Spirit, to not grieve the Spirit and say, no, I don't want to do that. But to say, if Holy Spirit, if that's what you're leading, then I will follow. I will keep in step with you. And so there's this participation. We are a part of what's going on. We need to obey the Spirit's directions and the dictates of the Spirit in our life. It must be our Spirit pulling in the same direction and to the same ends as the Holy Spirit. It's not one or the other. So just some concluding thoughts, some reflections maybe for you, for me, as we take away what is Paul trying to help us to think about in this passage. The first is that God did not send Jesus to bless our plans. He didn't send Jesus to, so that we could say, you know, to God, God, hey, this is what I want to do. You know, bless it. Make it work. Because that's a lot of times what we want, isn't it? If we're honest. We've thought this through pretty well. Maybe God's thought it through a little bit more than us. He sent Jesus to bring us under a new power with new plans. That's what he sent Jesus to do. Bring us into a new realm with a new power source, with different plans that transforms our thinking and our mindset, and that our primary motivations under this new authority of the Spirit is what pleases God, not what pleases me. Now, I won't say this for sure. You and I are always going to think about what pleases us. That's just built in. But when you think about that, maybe say, but is that what pleases God? Is this really what God wants? I know what I want. I almost always know what I want. Even if I just know that I want to know what I want. I want something, but what does God want? The second thing is if we think it's all up to us, we're wrong. Sometimes as Christians, we're going to go, I just need to be a better Christian. Yeah, But you're not going to do that on your own. Or if we just think it's up to the Holy Spirit to kind of give us the power and the Holy Spirit isn't showing up and you know, and we just need to kind of be here. No, that's wrong. It's a cooperation. We work with the Holy Spirit. Third, the Spirit confirms that we are God's children. This passage has a beautiful part in there. We didn't talk about it very much. But a child in this case has an intimate relationship with God, an Abba, a daddy relationship, an openness to God. Where God shares all that he has, heirs, with us now and in the future. Is that the kind of relational connection you have with God, would you say? Because that's the invitation as we live under the realm, the power, the authority of the Holy Spirit, is that that is the kind of relationship you have, even if you're not taking advantage of it. And Paul says, take advantage of it. Because we have this relationship and we're going to share all the glory and the greatness of God, but we're also going to share the suffering as well. And so we need to know that God is with us, God is there, and the power is enough. Without the Holy Spirit, we're stuck under this old authority that dominated our lives and leads to sin and death. But the Spirit has brought us under this new authority and freed us to live as God's beloved and obedient children who learn to do what pleases God. And when we stumble, and we will stumble, we get back up. And we said, Abba, Father, I did it again. Thank you for Jesus' sacrifice. And I bring myself again under the power, the authority of the Spirit to lead me forward towards your plans and towards what pleases you. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, what a gift. What a wonderful gift that you've given us. That you've transferred us out of this realm in which we reign and destruction reigns and it leads to death, and you brought us into this new realm where there's life and peace and hope and there's power and there's life beyond this. And we're freed from just doing what we want to doing what's really right and good. Lord, help us to see this dark choice. Help us as those who have come to faith in Jesus to know that that's the realm we want to live in. And Lord, if we're not, lead us to repent. That beautiful word that allows us to change, to not be stuck in the old ways. And Father, if we've not yet come to the point of embracing Jesus, may we hear in this passage that that's what we need. Because no one wants to be on that other road. No one wants to end up just dead. But we want life. And we want peace. And we want love. And we want hope. Open our hearts, we pray. Holy Spirit, help us to see and to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
We invite you to stand up and to sing with us again.
People of God, who have now received the Holy Spirit because you are in Christ, live under His power. Do the things, say the words, give the love that He directs you to. That pleases the Father, and it is who you are. Go and live for God and for His pleasure. Amen. Thanks so much for being here today. Have a great, great week discovering how the Spirit leads you this week out there with all kinds of different people. God bless you all.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love.
Thanks for listening. For more information, please visit allnationschurch.com.